Welcome to another episode of Nothing to Fear, a weekly horror movie podcast. My name is Billy Schultz. Every week on the show, we watch a different horror movie and we discuss it. This week marks the end of Phobia Month, and joining me on the show again, as always, as every single episode to date, I've got Luke Mason and Alex Wan. Now, Luke, we're pretending that we're recording this next week, so make up some shit about how you're doing next week. Hello.
This week has been different, but good. I had so much fun at my trivia open mic.
Yeah, so much karaoke. Fun at your threesome, right?
Oh,
so much
gosh, fun at your threesome. Well, yeah. That was my... That, you know, you call it a threesome. I call it my triathlon.
There you go.
Because, like, truth be told, I actually expend quite a bit of physical energy at those activities.
Well, especially if you, as you, I assume, you've done tub thumping for karaoke, at which point you...
I had planned on doing that, and because this is later and not before... I
there
have
you go.
Done
now
it.
You're locked in. If you don't do tub thumping last week, then you'll be a liar.
Hey, I'll be singing when you're bringing.
Awesome. Good to have you here, Luke. I love hearing your voice. I am also joined by Alex Wan. How are you this week? Make up a good story.
Oh my God, the smoke's been terrible. Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh no. I'm so sorry to hear that.
These jokes will make no sense anyone, like, unless they just...
What do you think our show is? That's all we do. It's just for
us. They make sense to us, and that's all that matters, right?
We're solipsistic on purpose.
Exactly. All those words you said.
Hey, that reminds me of a joke.
Let's hear it.
Is it just me, or is it solipsistic in here?
Very good.
It's a bad little philosophy joke for you.
That's good. I like it. Unfortunately, we're not here to talk about philosophy jokes, but maybe we'll later. We are closing out Phobia Month with the number one most common phobia in the world, arachnophobia. And the movie we're watching is, appropriately enough, called Arachnophobia. Now, I have personal history with this movie. And for this last episode, we have done the thing that we used to do so often in Nothing to Fear history, which is record this little bit before we've actually seen the movie. So, Alex Wan...
But have you seen the movie?
Listen, I saw this movie when I was 7 years old. So...
Why?
That's a little sizzle. I want to get your take first, and then we'll circle back to me. So, Alex, what did you know, or what do you know about this movie before seeing it?
I did not watch this when I was 7 years old. I actually haven't seen it at all, judging from the title of the movie and the theme of the week and the theme of the month. I'm going to guess that this movie is about spiders.
Nothing gets past you.
Yeah, nothing gets past me. But I will say, going into this, I don't think I'm going to be very scared of it, because spiders just aren't a fear for me. I'm not scared of spiders at all. So yeah, like, I think, like, growing up as a kid, I was always the one where, like, oh, there was a spider in the basement, or a millipede, a centipede, whatever the peed, I would be the one to go downstairs and kill it for, you know, my sister or whatever.
Whatever it was, it certainly didn't impede. Right.
Yeah, it didn't impede me, and I was able to stampede it out of there.
Oh!
Oh.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, so, you know...
You ever peed on it?
You know, fun story. Sometimes when, you know, when... I
Is
don't
this
know if
be
it's
a fun
story, but it's a story.
Right.
You know, we'll get a piece of toilet paper. We'll, you know, catch the spider, catch the centipede, catch the millipede. And then to dispose of it, I would put it in the toilet and then flush it. And then sometimes, to be efficient, I would, you know, do my business and then flush the toilet. So, you know what? I did pee on it. So anyways, I don't think I'll be very scared of it. I do know that spiders are a very real fear for a lot of people. And, you know, I've heard of this movie, but I don't really know what it's about outside of spiders. So.
Sure.
That's it.
So, question, your method of arachnid removal was always to kill it? You didn't do the catch and release method?
No. Why would I catch and release? Like, yeah, sure, maybe PETA come after me, but like, if I'm gonna release it, it came in here for a reason. Right. It liked it, so yeah, it's gonna come back.
That's fair. Lately, I've been trying to take a catch and release method to the spiders that make their way into the apartment, which is, it's kind of fun to drop them over the balcony and watch them kind of slowly abseil down. And I hope that they don't come back and bug me. I am not a fan of spiders, but Luke, what is your knowledge of arachnophobia? What is your relationship to it thus far?
Well, I'm also not scared of spiders particularly, and I think it's a really weird fear because they're actually quite useful creatures in comparison to many, many others that seem to not have the same squeamishness inducing feature to them. But I think I might protest by watching Eight-Legged Freaks instead of Arachnophobia and then just talking about it as if I had watched Arachnophobia. That's going to be my plan. And just for good measure, I'm also going to watch Charlotte's Web just to like round it all out.
Get a really triple bill of spider movies.
Yeah, I am planning to be unsurprised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I think that my growing up fear of spiders comes from this movie directly, because as I teased before, this is a movie that I watched right around when I was seven. It came out in 1990. So I think I saw it on video a couple years later. And my uncle rented it at a movie store out at the lake one time and wanted to watch a movie as a family. And I think like it's billed as not a horror movie, but I remember just like there are scenes that when I think about spiders, I think of this movie in that there's like spiders that come out of a drain in a sink. And there's, I think there's a scene of somebody that's like all mummified and webbed up. And there's like, I think spiders crawl out of eye sockets of a skull at one point in time. But anyway, I remember being petrified of this movie when I was little, just because of the number of spiders. And to the extent that I slept on the couch that night instead of going up to my bed after we watched that movie. And I remember the couch. I had a dream where the couch just was like absolutely filled with maggots and like crawling all over me. And I have this like very clear memory in my brain. And it scarred me. It scarred me. I was so scared of this movie. And somebody said it was a horror movie. So I was so scared of horror movies after this one. So I think for me, this movie is going to be a great catharsis to watch it, to put like a little bookend on this, the theme of this podcast as we go into hiatus here. And like, if I can watch this movie and not be scared of it, then boy, oh boy, is the title of this podcast so true. They're just movies. There's nothing to fear. So.
But plot twist, what if you actually get so scared of this movie that you just don't want to ever do the podcast again?
There we go. Then what a way to, what a note to go out on.
So you're kind of treating this film as some therapy.
Absolutely. I can't afford therapy.
Scars. And so you don't want to be a Freud of spiders.
I don't want to be afraid of spiders anymore. I've worked through a lot of it. Like now, if a spider...
Did spiders bang your mom?
No. No. Not that I know, but Mom, I don't know. So as a result, I don't actually know what the triggers for this movie is. I didn't check Does the Dog Die? I've deliberately not looked up a plot synopsis or a trailer even. And so I'm going to go in blind watching this movie.
So did you watch this movie 30 years ago?
I think I might have watched this movie 30 years ago. So I'm excited to catch up on it. I don't know what to expect. I honestly don't know what to expect because for so long, this movie has held a place of being a scary movie I watched when I was little. So it could be a family comedy for all I know. Maybe this fucking spider is like Beethoven the dog, and who knows? So we will see. We'll get into it. There's going to be spoilers for Arachnophobia. Don't have Does the Dog Die right now, but I'll do that maybe after the trailer. But let's get into the trailer, and we'll see you in a little bit.
The Jennings family has just moved to the small town of Canaima.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
Oh, God.
In search of a simpler life.
Want a blue of a bullfrog?
Okay.
It's the perfect place.
Goodbye, crime. Goodbye, grime.
Except for one pesky little problem.
Come with me and look at the web.
The web?
I have a
terrible fear of spiders. Come on, we live in the country now. It's time to work through this irrational, paralyzing terror.
It's not irrational.
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Jeff Daniels.
Honey, we're in the living room. We need you to kill a spider.
And John Goodman.
Dover McClintock, Infestation Management.
Ooh, my guy's just a spider.
Would anybody object if I tore this floor out?
I would.
False alarm, then lead on. There's no spider here.
Every so often in a little town somewhere, there is a health scare.
There's a rumor going around that some kind of spider might have killed Sam Metcalf.
Doubtful.
Spiders make convenient culprits.
There's no spider here.
I think one of your Venezuelan spiders hitched a ride here.
There may be some spiders around here that are very dangerous.
Dad, chill out.
Just run.
They spread out from a central nest in a web-like pattern and dominate the entire area. When that happens, this town is dead.
Better uncork my private stock.
Rock and roll!
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Arachnophobia. 8 legs, 2 fangs, and an attitude.
Perk up, Lloyd. If we find the spider that did this, you can arrest him.
Arachnophobia, a thrillomedy.
Arachnophobia is a 1990 American horror comedy film directed by Frank Marshall in his directorial debut, from a screenplay by Don Jacoby and Wesley Strick. Starring Jeff Daniels and John Goodman, the film follows a small California town that becomes invaded by an aggressive and dangerous spider species. Its title refers to the fear of spiders.
Oh, that's what that title was about. Oh my gosh. Yes, before we hop in, you know what? I didn't get the budget in box office, so I'm going to do that. But IMDb rates this one a 6.5 out of 10, as it always does. Rotten Tomato is split again with 93% audience rating, or no, critics rating, pardon me, and 54% in favor of this movie for the audience. I don't think I mentioned this in the before trailer part, but for DoesTheDogDie.com, there is a couple things. This movie is quite tame, actually. The biggest scare is the spiders. Other than that, there's like a little bit of gore, a little bit of mummification, and a lot of jump scares.
Desiccation. And I believe the word is desiccation.
Desiccation. Right.
Not mastication?
No.
Not mastication. Desiccation. No. Just desiccating.
There we go. We all watched the movie. That's proof, right?
We did. That's proof. But yeah, I want to pull up the budget and box office, so bear with me.
The budget was $22 million, and the box office was $53.2 million.
Wow, $22 million went into this movie. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious me.
Seems like an expensive movie for a movie in 1990, huh?
Right?
$22 million?
I mean, maybe it's like they spent a lot on puppetry and spider wrangling and helicopter shots in like Venezuela, but I can't wait to get into it. I'll light this powder keg here. As I mentioned at the top, this movie was a big scary point for me when I saw it as a child, and I have to say the catharsis I felt watching this movie and being grossed out but not being scared of this movie now 30 plus years on is just, oh man, just so wonderful. And, you know, I know in my heart of hearts that this movie is bad. It's tropey. It is stereotypical. It is all of the negative things that we've mentioned a million other times about horror movies. But boy, oh boy, there's not going to be anything that can take the wind out of my sails for like how excited I am to talk about this movie. I got enough hot air to go around. I purposely didn't look at the trailer. I didn't look at the Does the Dog Die? I wanted to go in as completely blind as possible with my like 7-year-old recollections of this movie. And the fact that it's got Jeff Daniels and John Goodman in this movie that is billed in the trailer as a thrillomedy was just like, oh, immediately as soon as this movie started, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be fine. I'm not gonna be as scared of spiders after this movie's over, because it was just so silly and I had a lot of fun. But if you are scared of spiders, oh boy, this one is full of spiders. So I think that's good enough to start it off. Luke, how did you like 8-Legged Freaks or Arachnophobia, whichever ones you watched?
Well, I have to say I didn't watch 8-Legged Freaks, so I can't actually comment on that, although I do remember it fairly well. I don't know what to say about this movie. I'm very happy. I'll put it to you this way. I'm very, very happy that there was some catharsis for you and that there was a resolution of nostalgia and overcoming of fears on your end. That makes it worth it alone. But I had a really hard time paying attention to this movie when it was on. I think I looked at my phone way more than I watched the movie. You might actually have to remind me of some plot points because I...
Happy to.
This movie is like a paint-by-numbers 90s movie. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to have a good-looking protagonist who's in the flush of their career play this character, in this instance, a doctor who, for like manifestly implausible reasons, is not believed by anybody about anything. We have this older doctor who's so straightforwardly stupid and nobody seems to notice. And then we're going to have this scientist pseudo villain who is
just a
corrupted
dick.
By their own corrupted by their own greed and overlooks health and safety in order to advance their own career, and they'll get their comeuppance at the end, you know, like all of this.
Boy, oh boy, would they.
Yeah, I mean, this
is
might...
Is that what happened?
Well, the blonde guy died. I did see that part.
Was he a villain though?
I thought he was a dick. I didn't see him as quite like a...
It was just a dick. You know, he's like...
He was just a dickbag, yeah.
And then, I don't know. I don't really know what to say about this movie in total, I have to say. This is like the most boilerplate film I think we've done. And
the
spiders aren't scary. So...
Not even when they're all over the walls of the house, it didn't like weird you out at all?
They looked so fake. It was so stupid. Oh.
Okay. I mean, there was a ton of real spiders in this movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree. Spiders eat bugs.
The real spiders looked faked, Billy.
I am looking forward to supplement your excitement of nostalgia, Billy, because I really don't know what else to say about this movie.
That's totally fine. And I had a feeling that might have been the case.
Sorry. And Alex, when you go, I just sometimes bathrooms sneak up on you, you know?
Okay, that's fine. We'll wait.
Okay. Alex and I will chat. Go. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I thought that was
12 minutes in, huh? 12 minutes in, and it's a new record. Never go on a road trip with him, huh?
I guess not. Yeah, he's got a like the teeniest bladder. But I don't know, maybe he's been pounding the coffee because it's 8 a.m. for him.
Well, the point of peeing before you have to do something is so that when you do that thing, it doesn't get interrupted.
Right.
So, you know, he's the one to pound the coffee before we go on a road trip. And then 5 minutes in, it's like, I gotta go. It's like, why didn't you go before? I didn't have to. Yeah, right.
He would have been the kid in the on the way to Drumheller who like has to pee 30 minutes in, and we just have to pull the bus off to the side of the road and be like, well, make your peace with God, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Luke is back from his bathroom break.
I got a bit of a tummy ache today, so sorry if that happens again.
That's okay.
Are you lactose intolerant?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. Next question.
Doubtful, but okay.
All right. Press X out. Okay, Alex, let us know, what did you think about Arachnophobia, this fucking movie?
I have zero fear of spiders. Spiders has never been something that I've ever been afraid of at any point in my life.
Yeah.
I was the Molly in this movie, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
like, you're like, a big spider web in a barn? I'll take a picture of that every day. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. But, yeah, so this movie, like, did not hit on any fears for me. But I could see how it could be scary for someone that even has a small fear of spiders, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of spiders in this movie, and the big ones are big and hairy and skitter. Mm-hmm. And I think the big fear is getting bitten and dying by a spider, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this movie had all of those things, so I can see why young you would have been terrified of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was still pretty scared of the jump scares happening in this movie. A lot of my notes are just like, oh no, spider on a face. Oh no, spider
in a bowl. Yeah, I think the biggest like spider fear was probably when the spider comes out of the coroner's nose or something.
Yes.
Right? Wow. Yeah, that was probably the biggest like spider scare.
Yeah,
didn't do it for me, but I was still like, whoa, I can see how that would be scary, mm-hmm. You know, because that's called empathy. This movie was pretty stupid, pretty dumb, but I you know what? I was kind of entertained by it. It made me think of like E.T. and Goonies.
Home Alone.
And all those other, you know, stupid, funny, scary movies, you know?
It's an Amblin movie, absolutely. Yeah. Just like a weird, funny sort of situation thing that happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of this movie was really dumb, but the one thing that kind of was particularly surprising to me was the attachment I had to characters that were just body counts.
Yeah.
You know, in a typical horror movie, you're going to have like a large body count of people that die and you're like, oh, whatever. They're like, I don't care. They were just, they had zero personality. They don't care about them. But like in this one, surprisingly, a lot of the characters that died to the spiders, I was like, oh, well, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like, the old lady, was that Margaret?
The first old lady who dies, the one who's like, you're so healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Margaret. Yeah. And I'm like, she was so nice and so kind and a great character. And she just dies right away. I'm like, damn, movie, kind of heartless. And then, you know, the coroner and his wife, they were nice enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Atherton, he's like, I know you two saw him as like the dick, and yeah, he was kind of a dick, but like at the end of the day, he was kind of he wasn't the hero because that belonged to Ross,
was our Jeff Daniels.
He was kind of the hero's consultant, and
he was the Professor Professorson.
Yeah, and so it's just like, I was surprised at how many characters that died in this movie. I was like, well, that's upsetting, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that I don't think a lot of movies have done for me, or at least a lot of horror movies where there's supposed to be a lot of characters that just die. Yeah, this one kind of got to me. So yeah, I was actually fairly entertained for some of this movie. I did find the basement at the end scene that dragged on so long, but
it's
like
just all the pulsating and screaming. Yeah,
yeah, and then the first like intro, like I think it took 55 minutes before they're like, oh, it's spiders that are killing the town. But like from the spiders killing the town when they discover that to the basement scene, I was like, this is a pretty fun zany 90s movie. So
yeah,
I was kind of for it.
Yeah, it was 109 minutes long, so it was too past long. That hour and a half mark, but certainly if there's a 2-hour cut of this movie, I would be struggling to find out where they could put things in. But yeah,
well, I definitely know where they could have cut a lot of this movie, but yeah. You know, this movie could have been an hour 20 minutes.
It could have. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could have been an 80 minute feature. But yeah, I think one of the things that struck me early on in the whole scene down in Venezuela is just that, like, when all the opening credits are coming up, we're seeing these names splash on the page. And, like, executive producing this movie was Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy, who are both still, like, in the cultural zeitgeist now. So it was kind of cool to see them. And then, like, all the shots in Venezuela, all the jungle shots just reminded me of Indiana Jones and looked like Steven Spielberg saw those and was just like, oh boy, am I gonna make the most Jurassic Park movie ever in a couple of years, you just wait. Like, just all the scenes in the jungle, all the scenes like flying through helicopters through gorges, I was like, you put the fucking Jurassic Park soundtrack on this and I wouldn't know what movie I'm watching until, you know, we see spiders show up. I think go ahead, Alex.
Just to add to your point really quickly, the director is married to Kathleen Kennedy, so.
Oh, there you go.
That's probably that connection that you see there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Currently married or was married at the time?
Still currently married since 87.
Oh, dang. They made it. Good job. You hardly hear about that in Hollywood.
Never say never.
I think the point that you make about Dr. Atherton, the blonde sort of, he's not really an antagonist, but he's definitely prickly at the start. Like, we see him in the jungle and he's like, he just kind of has this air of like superiority around, like he's the smartest guy in the room, and everybody else who like has to ask a question about spiders, he's like, ugh, let me roll my eyes a bunch really first and then I'll answer you condescendingly. So like his kind of attitude was that of the suffering intellectual in a room of morons, as it were. Like, you know, all the scenes where he's talking to the photographer who's just like, I'm not a nature photographer, I'm a sports photographer, and here I am in the jungle somehow, was, you know, it's just like, okay, so he's the trope of guy who thinks he's better than everyone and is kind of like not being kind to people who are genuinely asking questions. Like, I think the big scene later on is when Dr. Ross, what's his last name? Jeff Daniels' character gets the phone number and calls him, and he's like, I think there's spiders biting my town. And he's like, well, actually, spiders are very rare that they would attack humans, so they're probably fine, so you're probably worrying over nothing. And it's just like, he doesn't even take the time to hear him out. You know, he has to be convinced that there's something going on in this town. And yeah, he dies for it, but I don't think he was a villain that were like, yes, I want this guy to die. Like, I think they really put the spiders firmly in the role of the villain, you know, with between the queen and the general and all the little drones.
He kind of elided that photographer's death and wasn't forthcoming about it to like the authorities when they got back to the States.
That's,
like,
that's true. That's negligent. You're right.
He was totally like not interested in telling this person's family what happened, and it was all like,
right.
Did they know that it was a spider bite though? I mean, they could have probably guessed, but like, I don't think they ever for sure knew.
Well, the spider bit him, and if they had searched his body, they would have seen a massive spider bite on it.
Yeah, but like, no, but I figured they were like, oh, he had a fever, he must have just died.
But
as long as we get his pictures, I don't care. Just get him out of here.
Maybe you guys will remember this better than me because I actually don't really remember. But I think they said something when that happens, like, well, we can't let this get out because people will think it's spiders or something like that. Or it's like,
I don't remember that.
They'll think something like the greater culture will think something untoward about our project, and we can't have anything of our project be messed up with.
Right. Yeah. Because the whole reason the spiders are here, which is like, it's so to borrow a phrase from you, Luke, it's fucking convenient. But the whole reason is like, there's this natural chasm in Venezuela that's kept this little microbiome isolated. It's like down a 2,000 foot cliff that the spiders can't climb up, or they don't run out. So it's like, you know, it's I love the stereotype of like, oh, the native guide won't go any farther than this point, and all the people being like, yeah, we got it from here.
Oh,
take,
yeah, well,
take five, buddy. It's like, maybe listen to the people. And like, yeah, his whole drive to discover this new species kind of blinds him from doing the right thing. And I don't think they do an autopsy of him. They just sort of like, well, he died. He complained that he had a fever. So like, pack him up, pack him in,
let us
ship him off in this box. Yeah, let us begin. And like, of course, the spider... I love how they give the spiders in this thing like a will and a like malevolence and like a sense of revenge. Like,
yeah,
they gas all the bugs in the tree, and you see this like, you see the glittering spider's eyes, and you can imagine it being like, you motherfuckers, I'm going to take you all down for this. Because it's like, why would the spider crawl into a coffin? Like, there's no reason for it to be there. And then like, it crawls out and it like hitches a ride on a crow, and then it's like, oh good, a farmhouse, bites the crow and like lands in the grass. And it's just like, this spider is the first encounter with humans, and the spider is smart enough to be like, well, I gotta take these fuckers down because they killed my kids. And it's just like, okay, sure, why not.
Yeah, Atherton seemed to like, they set him up as at the very least indifferent to other people's well-being,
mm-hmm,
in the, yes, pursuit of his vocation and the allure and status that comes with being someone who would discover a new species, that kind of thing, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm, so, yeah, he's not a villain, but he's, I wouldn't say he's a good guy either.
No, you can tell he wants to be the best fucking arachnologist that there ever was, and yeah, that title really matters to him, and it's like, buddy,
well, and you, nobody there's cares. Like, there's like, That was definitely a stereotype of 90s films, is like this kind of unpleasant, greedy, aspiring, ambitious person who's like kind, mm-hmm, of thwarting the efforts of the more do-goodery types in the film, and
yeah,
for like really unrealistic reasons.
If it's not like a businessman that wants to close down a rec center, it's like a, yeah, scientist type who's like, you rubes just don't understand what we're trying to do here. And it's like, mm-hmm, ah, okay, I settle down, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, the jungle happens. The spider is like, America, I've heard of that place, I guess. Time to go see what's up. And then when we see Dr. Jeff Daniels, whose name I can't remember. Dr. M something. Alex, you're the...
Is it Billings?
What's his name? Billings?
Which doctor?
Ross.
Jeff Daniels' character. Dr. Ross.
Dr. Ross Jennings.
Jennings.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, Dr. Jennings, you know, his whole thing of like, I'm going to take over in this small town from the only doctor who's like a million years old, and I've got the job. Let's move the whole family down there, only to have the doctor be like, I decided I'm not retiring. It's like, buddy, what are you doing? I don't know, like all the setup of getting the spiders in different points I thought was kind of clever. I thought it was wildly unlucky that nobody saw one of these spiders even once. Like, it's like you would see spiders, but yeah, I guess everyone just doesn't notice. They put their helmets on without looking, and they're wondering why there's crickets are missing.
These spiders went to the Michael Myers school, right?
Oh boy, did they. They all graduates of the Michael Myers School of Sneaking Around. And I just love the agency the spiders have in this movie. They're unlike anything. They're smarter. They can time their attacks. They know when a magazine is coming at them. And they just have this sort of like will that's more than would be possible in a spider. And I just, yeah, I can totally see why it scared me. Because I was like, oh man, these spiders like know how to like hunt down people and attack them. And that means all spiders know how to do that. And so I'm a scared spiders now. I love that they showed a little scene in the barn of the general spider, like having a little bit of romantic time with a, spider from California, like a tarantula, and it's like, how do we need to show that they're gonna mate? Well, maybe they rub their legs together a little bit. It's just like, ah, yeah.
Okay. So me not being a spider person, I'm not interested in spiders, and not really understanding the science of this and all that, I need some clarification on the spider rules. Okay,
go for it.
So there was the big one that hopped into the backpack or into the coffin. Was that a queen?
That was the general. That was the general. The big daddy, which like doesn't.
So the general did have sex organs.
Yes.
It was all the other ones that didn't?
Correct.
Okay. So we have that first big one that goes to California, the one that kills the crow and gets dropped in the backyard and then goes in the barn. Yeah. So that one mates with a normal Californian house spider.
Or like a tarantula or something.
Something local.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what comes out of that? The queen?
I don't really know. I think that, like, somehow the queen spider...
Where the fuck did the queen come from?
She just, like, turns when she's, like, laying the eggs, and it's like, oh, no, now I gotta protect all these eggs. I don't, like... The whole, like, the spider species that, you know, has the ability to control drones like bees.
I didn't understand, is what I'm saying. No. Okay, I didn't understand the genealogy. I didn't understand the family tree. It was all very confusing to me, right? Like, so two spiders can mate and make a billion spiders, but those spiders can't do anything other than kill people, but they have a short lifespan.
Yeah.
But then there's more spiders crawling out of the big sack, and the sack needs to be protected because apparently the sack produces spiders, but where did the sack come from?
Maybe the sack makes more queens. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, they're just like, we need a way for it to be spiders that are scary. We need, like, a mini boss and then a big boss fight in this movie. And also, let's not scare everyone for a while, so we'll say that these spiders die, really. They have a short lifespan. So they can't, like, take over the world. They're gonna die after a couple days. And it's just like, I mean, it's smacked of the, like, sort of, we need a reason for this science in this movie. But we don't have to do that much research because it's 1990 and we don't think people are that smart going to the movies. Because they're like...
That's the thing, though. I wasn't that smart. I'm still not that smart. And I was utterly confused, right? It was not like I was like, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. I'll just take their word for it. I was like, what the fuck? Who's the father? Who's the mother? Yeah. Who's the granddaddy? What's this big sack? Why are all these little ones out here? Really confused.
Just your basic egg sack. But yeah, it's like all, I imagine if there was an entomologist watching this movie or a real arachnologist, they'd be like, nah, no, no. Like, it's just like scary and big and mean for the sake of it. You know, there's that scene where they're doing the autopsy on the spider, or they're dissecting it, and it's like, oh, this one has three venom sacs, which means it's like even more poisonous. And it's just like, well, what's more than two? Well, one more. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah, do that. Let's make this spider have three, because that's slightly more, like, they could have made them have 10 legs or something, just to be like, look at, they're even worse than regular spiders. But I don't know, you're right, it doesn't make any sense at all, and it was just a vehicle for having spiders crawling out of things and crawling on people and just being gross and greebly for the people who get freaked out by them.
Yep.
The first lady that dies, you mentioned her Margaret, I think her name was, his only patient, because Dr. Metcalf doesn't retire, so the new Dr. Jennings has no patients. Oh, what is he going to do? So he has this, like, friendly old lady, and I should have seen it coming with the fact that they spend so much time being like, wow, you're in the best health you've ever been in. Oh boy, it's a shame you're not more sick, because I won't be able to, like, treat you as a doctor. There's a lot of conversation around, like, it's too bad that my only patient is really healthy because I can't charge them enough. And I was like, oh yeah, American medical care system is great. And then, like, I should have seen it coming as the idea that she's so healthy, there's nothing wrong with her heart, that the fact that she dies is, you know, from this spider bite is what arouses Dr. Jennings' suspicion of, like, something's going on here. I got some spider problems.
I feel like they didn't utilize that plot point as powerfully as they could have, you know? This new hotshot doctor comes in and everybody dies. And there's like, okay, we'll still keep seeing him.
Dr. Death. Yeah. Well, it felt like so kind of hodgepodge. You know, there's a scene where they have kids and they introduce it to the kids' neighbors. And the scene actually makes it into the trailer where they're like, oh, we're gonna go like play in the forest. What do you think the kids are up to? And then they just run away and the kid's like, hey, you want to blow up a bullfrog? And it's just like, that's it. They like really never touch on that again. There's a lot of like table setting and scene setting of this like community that's more varied than just the Jennings is, and we don't really get to see too much of it, which I kind of would have liked to see a little bit more developed of the cast of characters.
I think that party scene in the early bit was what kind of got me semi-attached to the characters that died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you meet everybody. You meet her. You meet the original doctor and his wife. And she, I don't know what that actress is, but she was in a lot of things. I think she was Billy, Adam Sandler's like grandma and like Billy Madison. Or what's the one where he's the golfer? Happy Gilmore. I think she's in that. Like, she's just like a sweet old lady actress. The mortician and his wife, I thought.
They were just pleasant. Yeah.
We're pleasant people. Eat. We love snacking. We love the Wheel of Fortune and we love snacks. And I was like, you know what? I can get behind that. As
do you want a doggy bag? No, we're good.
We're good. I get it. You go to a place where there's free food. It's like, yeah, load me up. Let me ask that question. And no, you're not. Neither of you are scared of spiders. Was there any scene of the spider, like either like in the slipper or in the helmet or in the shower or in the nose of the mortician? Were any of those scenes at all like, oh, like, could you imagine yourself like experiencing that or that like offset you or no, just like fully detached?
Like I said before, I'm just not scared of spiders at all. But I think the scene of the spider coming out of the nose was like, well, that's unsettling or that's gross because like, you know that this spider killed him and his wife and now is just chilling in the nose and comes out, you know?
Just desiccating away.
Desiccating away. But no, overall, not really. I guess like the size of the general was a little bit.
It's so big. Such a puppet. So,
yeah. But I will say I really liked how, at least at the start of this movie, there was like the POV of the spider, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say, like, for being a movie in the 1990s, the spiders looked good. I thought they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they use real spiders. And then there was obviously puppetry involved as well, where you don't see the whole big spider in the beginning. You only see like the legs coming out of the door or like crawling into something. So it's very clear, like on the other end of it, someone's pulling it or moving it. But I thought it aged pretty well. Like, I've always said this, I think physical, like, things that you can see and touch look so much better than CGI, no matter absolutely. What era you're in, right? Yeah. So, yeah, they look good.
Yeah, the spiders they used were huntsman spiders, which are native to Australia, and their sort of reputation there is they're really big and scary, but they're not venomous, and they can bite humans, but even if they do, they don't kill you. Rarely, I think it's maybe happened once or twice, but of all the like venomous spiders and venomous shit in Australia, huntsman spiders are mostly bark and no bite, and their creepiness comes from the fact that their bodies are really, really flat, so they can hide behind things very well, and like the adaptation comes from hiding in the loose bark of eucalyptus trees, right? As like a way to get away from predators and be safe in there. And so people get huntsmans in their houses and they like hide behind pictures that are on the wall, or there's stories of them hiding above like car visors so that if people flip down their car visor, it can like have a big spider the size of your hand falling into your lap, which is, you know.
So you're startling. A spider person, huh? Or is this because you lived in Australia?
Well, I learned about, I guess I learned about huntsman spiders by way of arachnophobia in 1990 when I saw it, but I didn't know they were that. And then when I lived in Australia, of course, there's stories of everyone sort of has a huntsman spider story. I had an encounter with one that was like behind a, like hanging on the back of a curtain as I was like drawing it across. And then like, I see a spider like run on the other side of the curtain, which was very startling. But like, they're just a quick, flat, big animal that people, you know, get all creeped out at. And to mention Lord of the Rings, one of the spiders that crawls over Mary where they're hiding from the Ringwraiths, and it's like it's got his hands on the log and all the bugs are crawling out, one of those is a huntsman spider. So it's like, yeah, huntsman spiders, they got a IMDb page.
So I'm just kind of reading a little bit right now, and I think this is fascinating, but according to get this, like, because they were real spiders, so getting them to move in the proper direction. So this is what Wikipedia says. These spiders did not like Lemon Pledge furniture wax or hot blowing air, So to make the spiders hit their marks during filming, a pathway was created using Lemon Pledge as the boundaries, and hair blow dryers were used to motivate the spiders to move. The wow. result was the spiders avoided the Lemon Pledge and moved along the non-pledge pathways created when the hot hot air blow dryer was aimed at them. Fucking fascinating.
That is so amazing. Because nowadays they would just be like, okay, so just look at that chair leg. There's going to be 10 spiders. We'll CG them on and be scared. But the fact that they had like, okay, this stimulus is aversive to it, so we'll set it up this little invisible pathway. Oh, that's so cool.
Do you think any of the actors were scared of spiders?
I don't know. I have to imagine like the spider in the shower when it like goes on whatever, the coach's daughter. I don't know if that was a real one. I feel like that one might have been like a prop, but to have it like be on you when you're naked is scary. When spiders get in the house, it's like when you're in the shower, when you're the most naked, that's like the worst. Because you're like, ah, no, I have no defenses, even though you're still a million times bigger.
That's never happened to me.
No.
No.
Well, we got a lot of spiders here. I don't know. I don't know. I admittedly didn't look anything up for this movie, as is my wont. I'm not one to do research on these, really. But I don't know. I bought Jeff Daniels, or I guess Dr. Jennings' reason for being scared when he was little. The fact that a spider encounter when he was a baby traumatize him for life. I was like, I get you, because your movie did that for me when I was little. I remember a time when I was at the lake and we were doing some demolishing work of like an old building at the lake. We had an old tool shed that we were tearing down, and I was like, I don't want to take this apart, this thing's full of spiders. And my mom was like, don't be a baby, it's fine, they're not going to hurt you. And we were pulling off this big flat piece of drywall that was, or not drywall, but like a big piece of plywood that was on the ceiling, and prying it down, and it dropped down, and just the underside of it was just covered in like a nest of spiders. And they're just all chilling, they're hanging out, they all scattered, but it was still like dozens of spiders that were attached to this other side of this piece of wood that I was prying down that was above me. So that was definitely a scary moment in my spider life, but I don't know. I think I'm cured of it now, because this movie was always the reason I was scared of spiders. And much like how I used to be really scared of zombies until doing the show, like, yay, I'm cured of my irrational fears. But not Fall. That one still was fucking scary. I could tell the tone of this movie was going to be less horror and more lighthearted when they made sure to include shots of the cat and the dog running away. And like not really throwing back to seeing dog all webbed up, or a dead dog, or a dead cat, or something. I was like, oh, good, the pets are fine. This movie's gonna be okay, because they take care to protect
Wasn't pets there a cat in the webbing of the barn?
There was a bunch of different animals up there, a bunch of different like birds and mice. There might have been a cat, but the living cats we saw, like the big orange one and there's like a little calico guy, we never saw them have a face off with the spider. So it's like, okay, they're fine. These spiders only eat crickets and people. That's it. Forget it.
Now that you mention it, I haven't heard a single cricket all movie.
Not even one cricket. There was a cricket in our apartment the other week, and I had never seen a cricket before because we don't really have them in Alberta. And it was just like, oh, there's like a weird, not quite a grasshopper. It's weird.
Cicadas? Is that the word?
No, cicadas are a different...
Cicadas.
Different thing. But those will be back this summer. Not the big 17-year plague of them or whatever they're called, but we have a couple every year. We had some last year.
Too bad it wasn't every 10 years, because then you could call them desiccadas.
Absolutely not.
Is it deca? Odessa is 10, right?
Odessa is 10? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think deca is also 10. Can we talk about John Goodman's character in this movie? Yeah. What do we think?
He was the funniest part of the movie, for sure. Just absolutely goofy. Whenever his character shows up, it's like that simple-minded hick theme without it being a simple-minded hick theme, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know John Goodman was in this movie. The fact that he shows up as this exterminator who's just like, rock and roll, let's do this. I hate bugs and they hate me. Let's fucking like get going. And like, he's billed as this like action hero guy against these bugs. But the music they play for him when he's on screen, his little jazz piano theme was so wacky. I was just like, this movie is so stupid and silly, and I love it. I love that they have him just plinky plonking around. It kind of reminded me of our very first episode, Poltergeist, with like some of the music in that was very, it seemed more whimsical than a horror movie would have you to believe. And so I loved it. What did you think, Luke? Give us your John Goodman thoughts in this film.
It was kind of funny. I thought he would be more of a hero in the end than he ended up being. I just think he was, they kind of just put him in.
He was. He killed all the spiders, Luke.
Well, I just think he was in the movie to say John Goodman was in the movie. You know,
yeah.
Like it was for marketing more than anything. Mm-hmm. But it was entertaining. I liked his truck. I thought it was like, I liked his kind of unsophisticated superiorism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Atherton was a sophisticated superiorist, and
yeah.
John Goodman was an unsophisticated one, and that was just funny. It was funny.
Yeah. I like the line, like, what would you object if we pulled this whole floor out? And she's like, absolutely not. He's like, I was just kidding. Never mind. We're not gonna do that. It's fine.
I thought he had the funniest line when he was like saying, like, I have a misprinted Miller Lite, only 100 in circulation. I thought that was the funniest part of the movie.
Because Dr. Jennings is like this wine collector, and he's got this basement, and you can tell
it's a cellar.
Sorry, a wine cellar. And you can tell that Delbert, the exterminator's not quote unquote sophisticated, but he's like, oh, I have a collection too. Yeah, I collect
your husband. Your husband, like your husband, would like to see this.
I like his analysis too. It's like, you got bad wood. The only thing for that is good wood.
Take out bad wood, put in good wood. It's like, all right.
Thanks, Delbert.
He knows his shit. It was great. And his like heroic moment is showing up in the sort of biohazard suit with the spray. And I think it's meant to be like, yeah, he takes care of all the little spiders so that Dr. Jennings can take down the general.
It was not the nest in the basement. No, I guess it was in the barn, right? So that's why I
wasn't. No, it was in the basement.
I was confused as well, because I swore it was in the barn, but then it was also in the basement.
So how does Delbert not find any of this shit?
Doesn't go in the basement.
Maybe there were two nests. One in the basement, one in the barn.
Is the basement different than the cellar?
Oh, sorry, cellar. My bad.
No, there's a running joke in the movie where he's like, it's not a basement, it's a wine cellar.
Yeah, I know, but if that's where the nest ended up being, Delbert is not really worth much as an exterminator if he couldn't find it earlier in the movie.
No, you're right. But like the reason that it's the climax of the movie happens in the cellar is because the floor is rotten and Dr. Jennings like steps in the kitchen and it breaks through, right? Like, and so he falls down, he's like trapped under these very flimsy looking wine racks where he shouldn't be trapped under them, and just like just throwing bottles of brandy at this spider and trying to light it on fire. It's so silly. And you know, the joke is like, oh, there's a spider in my house, so I burn my house down, like haha. It's like, this was the appropriate time for that trope. And then just the way they take out the spider was so silly. Like, uses the piece of wood to fling it up in the air, and while it's running at him on fire, he flings it off and shoots it into the fire, and then it like charges at him on fire so he can like shoot it out of the air with the giant nail gun into the egg sack and save the day. Just
Well, it also got like electrocuted too, right?
No, that was the queen that got electrocuted.
See, that's the problem. I can't tell what's a queen and what's a general.
Yeah.
So I don't know these anatomy parts. Sorry, go ahead.
There's the one sort of medium big spider that's the queen, and that's the one that he, I don't know, shoots into the fuse box that's sparking, and he electrocutes it, and it, like, blackens. But
then, all its jizz comes out?
Yeah, all its little, like, we'll say jizz. I was going to say...
The queen jizz?
Vanilla pudding, but sure, the jizz is fine. It oozes out, and then the general is the one that like is crawling on him when he's like paralyzed, which is, we've seen this spider bite everybody without any regard, and this one he's like, I'm gonna take my time with you, I'm gonna crawl my way up your whole body, because I remember that you had a panic attack with a spider when you were two for some reason. Again, the spider is a genius. And so the general's the one that he shoots the nail gun into the nest while it's on fire and kills everything.
Isn't it fucking convenient that no one enters the house to, like, help him out after he yells help, help a bunch of times until after everything's done?
Yeah, no.
So convenient.
Nothing. Yeah. They're scared.
And it's not like they were far away, right? They're literally upstairs outside.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's fine. He's got it. Yeah, we don't want to go in there. Daddy's busy. Oh, this movie is so stupid and so silly, and like the spiders, you know, they look great. The puppetry looks great. And I don't know. When I finished watching it, I was just like, oh my God, all the trauma from my childhood viewing of this movie left my body. And it just, I don't know, I felt great. Felt like it was good. Like everything was going to be okay. The world's going to be all right in the end. You don't have to be scared of arachnophobia. The motto of this whole podcast is true. They're just movies. Like, oh man, I was like, I couldn't personally have like wished for a better stupid horror movie to like go into the hiatus for this film. And you know, am I sorry we didn't get to watch like a good elevated horror to end it? Sure. I'm a little bit bummed about that. I'm a little bit bummed that one of the bookends of this chapter of Nothing to Fear is arachnophobia, but
it seems just appropriate.
Yeah. You know,
the title of this movie refers to a fear of spiders, so.
Oh, I thought it was the study of spiders. Yeah, most of my notes are just like, no, not spiders there. No, so many spiders. No, oh my God, spiders. Oh my God, spiders. I'd love to hear a real person who knows more about the anatomy and entomology of spiders to explain where this movie goes wrong, because I'm sure there's nothing even approaching a scientific fact from this film. But it was a lot of fun. Anything else? Do we have anything else? Luke, I know you don't have a lot to say about this movie, but any sort of fun? Oh, I have a final thought that I just remembered. Mm. So I'll kick off the final thought section. But when getting back to the start of the movie, where we just see the spider in bits and, you know, we see the legs, or we see it like walking away, we see the puppet going, that gave me strong vibes of how they hid the shark in Jaws until it was ready for it to come out. Like the idea of keeping the thing that's scary in the shadows and only glimpsed for a long time until it's ready for its big debut. I was just like, oh yeah, great, great, like way to build tension even in this silly movie. So props to that one.
Yeah, because when do you finally actually see the full thing? Not till he's fighting it.
I mean, you get a couple glimpses of it, like when it bites the photographer. You get that shot of it, like just the whole face of it, like biting into this like body. But it's only on screen for a little while. The only time it has like extended full body time on screen is like when he's in the cellar fighting it with the nail gun, and when it's crawling on him. And it's just like, oh yeah, it's a big gross spider.
It's a lot like the birds, huh?
Yeah,
just a lot of animals.
Of it's a lot of birds.
Great analysis.
Great analysis, Alex. Any final thoughts, Alex?
No, not really. Like, this was such a stupid movie, but I had mostly a good time with it, so
yeah. It's a good fun time. Luke, anything? Any last thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is just not a movie that I think is going to do much for someone from a horror point of view if they're not scared of spiders. And since I'm not, I just kind of skated over all of the quote-unquote horror parts of it. Like, it's just, they just didn't land at all, because I was like, this is just so unrealistic. you know, it's so I wasn't scared at all in this movie, so if there was no fear happening or no kind of even ickiness, you start to pay attention to the other parts of the film, which were all pretty like what I was expecting.
You can say bad,
they were just predictable. You know, and predictable is almost worse than bad, I guess, because at least a bad movie surprises you, I guess, at some level. And this movie was like the most unsurprising, one of the most unsurprising films we did.
Yeah, it's a real
promised
a real good case study for our own, I guess, you know, we've shot ourselves in the foot by being, you know, watching 160 horror movies and then being like, oh man, all these horror movies are kind of the same. It's like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. Okay, then, to reference your Discord name, you said better as Harry Dunn. So what is your favorite Jeff Daniels performance?
I mean, my nostalgia for him is obviously Dumb and Dumber. But the best Jeff Daniels performance, I mean, that's tough. I'd have to think about it. He was really good in a recent show that got canceled called American Rust. I really liked him in the first season. Yeah, it was a great first season, and then it got canceled. I don't know why. That was too bad. He was also in this movie I remember as a kid called Fly Away Home. That was a really nice movie. He was the dad. Oh,
yeah.
In
he was
one.
In the Geese movie.
Yeah. Him and Anna Paquin. One of her first movies, you know? I'd have to think about it. I'd have to peruse the IMDb a bit, too, because he's been in so many movies that I can't remember off the top of my head.
I really liked him in The Martian. He's the director of NASA. Yeah. I think Teddy, whatever. I thought he was did a good job in that one. Alex, what's your favorite Jeff Daniels performance?
I don't know if I have like a particular performance from him, but just looking at his movies, I really liked Looper.
Oh, he's in Looper.
Yeah, he's like the big villain dude.
Oh, he was in, what's that? What am I looking at?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, Looper was good. Looper was good.
All right. Yeah. We'll go with Looper.
Oh, he was in Squid and the Whale.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was a crazy movie.
I don't think I saw that one, but...
He's like an intellectual who, you know, has affairs with his students and...
No good.
And he's an insufferable prick.
When I was little, I thought he and Dave Coulier were like roughly the same person.
Yeah.
Because they're both like blonde actors who were popular around that time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's ironic.
Hey, you ought to know that.
It goes down like a pretty sharp type of pill.
Well.
Okay. We're well off the garden path now.
Let's sweep that one under the rug.
Yep. Okay, so there's no more final thoughts. We had a fun little Jeff Daniels discussion. So no scariest part, I'm mistaking. Luke, was there a scariest part? No, you're shaking your head. Big no. Alex, scariest part?
My scariest part is when they go into the barn to conquer his fears at the start, and he falls into like the web, and like it was a rat. In a web.
Yeah.
Like falls on. That's my scariest part.
You don't love a rat.
Yeah. Of Ratma. All the animals, it's Hail the rat. Ratma.
Hail Ratma. For me, it's the spider in the shower scene. And there's a scene in the trailer that I thought was in the movie, but there's one of like a bunch of spiders coming out of the drain of a sink and out of the like the little overflow slits in like a sink. You know, there's like those little cutouts in the back so it doesn't feel too far up. Like there's I remember seeing spiders crawling out of that, and that was like really gross. But the spider on you when you're naked in the shower.
That shower scene, the end of it, I actually laughed out loud because for some reason this movie had to make it that the dad sees his daughter buck naked and then the son also, and they're both kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Yep.
Calm down,
movie. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, movie?
Like the brother's eyes just go so big.
It's yeah, like, it's like...
It's a, what are we it's saying a,
here? Are you sure it wasn't a stepbrother?
Well, it would be if it was on the internet.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, then. So I think we should rate this. And you know what? As a special treat, we can all pick whatever we want to rate it out of. So everyone gets to pick their own rating. I'll go first, simply because of my personal history with this movie and overcoming it and realizing when I was... little, it was way scarier. I had a blast watching this movie. It was so dumb. But I'm going to give this one, I'm going to rate it out of just your basic egg sack, and I'm going to give it a 3.4 out of 5. So just like IMDb, I'm around the 60% on this movie. Just your basic egg sacks for me. Luke, what are you going to rate this movie out of?
I'm going to rate this movie out of untouched Venezuelan habitats.
Ah, beautiful.
I feel like that was quite relevant in this film, turns out. This is, again, if you don't have an attachment to spiders or to this film in youth, I just don't think there's much here to add to a conversation about movies. But it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, per se. It's just a paint-by-numbers movie. So I'm going to give it a 1.5 untouched Venezuelan habitats out of 5.
Love it. Love it. Alex, what are you rating this out of and what are you giving it?
I'm going to rate this out of 5 bags of popcorn with fake butter in it. Not the real butter, but not fake real, butter.
Yeah, fake butter.
I was pretty entertained. Not like, but this was like, I feel like this is a good kind of like family enjoy, like the parents enjoy a horror movie. So this is the first kind of horror movie you show a kid.
Don't show a kid this.
Family movie night.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't right? show your 7-year-old this. Don't do it. You'll scar them for 3 decades.
You can show your 8-year-old it, though. It's okay. Yeah, but it was really dumb, but I was really impressed with how the spiders looked and the puppetry and all that. So I'm going to give it 2.9 bags of popcorn with fake butter out of 5.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, then. Well, before we move into the something to cheer section, I posted on the Nothing to Fear Instagram stories this morning to see if anybody wanted to ask us any questions before we go on hiatus. And we got 2 whole questions.
Wow.
So it's from James and Danae. Listeners, James and Danae.
Listeners extraordinaire.
Long-standing listeners. James, of course, is asking, why no blob? !! So it's obviously a sore spot. I don't have an answer. I never picked it. James, we're sorry. Maybe we'll do a special one day.
What year was it from?
1956. I believe 1951 or 56.
That something definitely like that, contributes yeah. as to why none of us picked it. I'll say that. That's probably
the What's the oldest movie we watched? Was it Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, it was Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, because that movie was terrible. So, you know, old movies, you're...
Which one was that one again?
Zombies in the Farmhouse, black and white.
What year was that movie? I felt like that was the 60s. It is
60s, but...
We didn't do any movies from the 50s or 30s even? I guess not. Yeah.
I didn't.
You sound like you're surprised, Luke.
Well, I don't remember. Just did too many fucking movies.
We did so many movies.
I thought about doing like the original Dracula and like some of those like classic monster movies, but you know, it's hard to fit in a theme, and the enthusiasm for themes kind of like is harder to keep it going at the end of a month, so.
The theme of the month is pick a movie from an era of movies that we don't like.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I hate movies from the 2010s. I hate that. So
she's okay. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah, sorry, James, we didn't get around to the blob. What can I say? Maybe one day. Take it up with Alex.
What can I say? I didn't really want to watch it.
Yeah. James, your child is very adorable. Thank you for being a loyal listener. The other question we had from Danae, which was more of a thoughtful one. And they asked, what has...
Take that, James.
Hey, I thought that first question was pretty thoughtful.
That's pretty thoughtful, yeah. They asked, what has been your favorite part of doing Nothing to Fear? So I think, obviously, getting to talk to my good friends Luke and Alex every week has been so fun. It's not easy to maintain relationships and friendships in adulthood. And so it's been nice to have a reason to chat and still be in each other's lives a little bit, even across many time zones and provinces. And I'd say other than that, like getting to know the people who listen a little bit better. Like I didn't know Danica before this, and now we've chatted on video calls a couple times and talking with her about psychology, and she's really helpful to get me through this last semester. So that has been an unexpected but not unenjoyed side effect. I mean, obviously, any friend of Luke is a friend of mine. Luke's got pretty good taste in friends, I think, and so it was just nice, like surprising to see who was listening and talking and making deeper connections with them and Danae as well. So I think that's it for me. It's just like interacting with you and with the people who listen. But Luke, you got a favorite part of Nothing to Fear?
Well, I mean, by far and away, my favorite part is just like the dumb shit we talk about. Or like the emergent, I guess it's like planned emergence. Like I never know what exactly will be the funny thing that comes out of us talking, but I always know there will be a funny thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So like the superstructure is there and then the content gets filled in every time.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy that a lot. I mean, it's even a lot of movies that I've been at best lukewarm on. Ostensibly lukewarm on. There have been... like funny chats that come out of it because the two of you.
There was just no serendipitude.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. You know, it's the both of you, we have a vastly overlapping cultural palette and taste and knowledge base. So the mm-hmm. jokes are rapid fire and plenty. And then, like, I would say a secondary thing I've enjoyed about it is that there have been, I don't know, maybe about 20 movies that we've done in our run that I'd never heard of and I liked, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that's been nice. To find, you know, like I just can't ever have seen myself watching a movie like Pyewacket without this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really liked that movie. You know? And then like the movies that we have done that have been like on balance good and we've talked about why and like needling out some of the philosophy of horror and the philosophy of fiction. Like obviously I like that shit.
Mm-hmm.
a lot, you know. So that every now and again we do a film that takes us into that more philosophical area about what it is we're watching, and that does a lot for me, as you know, because I have like a whole other podcast about that. So
yeah,
every time I've enjoyed the times when Nothing to Fear moonlights as really true fiction. But I like talking about fiction a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, those would be my favorite things. I'd say those two things.
All right. What about you, Alex? Favorite part?
I mean, outside of the easy cop out answer of like I like talking to the two of you. I think my favorite part of doing this so far has been being able to relate whatever dumb movie or plot point or theme that we discuss into like just life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be incredibly stupid and just like, what the fuck are we talking about? And then other times I find it quite meaningful and insightful, and I'm still learning a lot about the two of you, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So, and learning a lot about myself as well. Mm. So I think that's probably been my favorite part of it.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a blast. And so, yeah, I'm just thrilled that an idea I had was able to like keep going for a while, and I'm excited to recharge the batteries and see what, you know, happens next, because I feel in my bones that I'm not done with podcasting, and whether it's not about horror movies in the future or it's about or whatever this evolves into, I'm so grateful that you came along with me for this ride. And yeah, it's just been fun, you know.
3 years is a long time.
It's
huh?
a long time. And yeah. You know, yeah,
do we have any good. Are we still kind of across the board agreeing that Hereditary is the best movie we've done?
Oh yeah,
it's definitely in the top three.
Yeah,
like I need to look at a list, but like I think, yeah, Hereditary, like I think universally Hereditary is like our top one, because mm-hmm. I think we all probably have different top ones or top twos. But if you mean out the median, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever.
No. Mean out the median.
If you mean out the median. I think Hereditary is there. It's one of the few ones that we've all come through with 5 out of 5s. I think the only other one I can recall is Alien, or I don't know if everyone got 5 out of 5 on Alien.
I think we did all 5 out of 5 on Alien.
Yeah.
Get Out was probably one as well, maybe?
Get Out wasn't all 5s out of 5s.
I think I gave remember... it a 4.75.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Luke docked
okay.
at Marks.
Just because I was so annoyed with how Jeremy came back after getting smoked in the house.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Movie. You haven't made a single mistake on this whole movie, and then you make that one.
Yeah. I wonder, like, I've been wondering, like, what a thought experiment would be to, like, return to some of the first season, like, the first 20, and see if, like, my opinions are different now, you know, sort of. Like, Poltergeist was our first one, which is, like, a huge one in the horror verse, and there's a lot of history and a lot of like, you know, this whole thing that this is a cursed movie and the people who like died as a around it, like the whole lore around it, and just sort of knowing the horror universe more, I wonder if like I probably will never do this because I'm one, not going to listen back to the old episodes, and two, I don't have time to rewatch movies I've already watched necessarily, but like just like, oh, I wonder if my opinions would change on some of the early ones. Yeah.
Oh, for sure they would. I would give Poltergeist a much lower score than I would have.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been the Question Corner. Thank you, James and Danae, for looking at the Instagram this morning and asking us a question before recording. Let's cheer something. Let's do something to cheer. For me this week and much of the last 2 weeks when I'm not working, I am just pouring in time on the Nintendo Switch with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Man. What a fun goddamn game. I really loved Breath of the Wild when it came out. It was the reason I bought a Nintendo Switch in the first place. And I've been waiting for the sequel, and it is so much fun. It's the same as Breath of the Wild, but they've done more to it. There's more enemies. There's more stuff you can do with the abilities, and the shit you can build in this game is amazing. I spent, maybe I'll post this on the stories, but I spent a while in a shrine fusing items together, and I made a little Blair Witch logo just for fun, and it's been great. So I'll post that on
which
this and check that out.
Implausibly, a movie we haven't done on this fucking podcast. How the hell have we not done the Blair Witch project?
I know.
Because we wanted to watch gems like Leprechaun and
four Friday the 13th movies,
part 3.
Four of them.
Final Destination 2, we had to watch that one.
Gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. Blair Witch is a huge blind spot, but
we should do that. Should be like maybe that could be like a summer bonus episode. One of us hops on with Billy for like half an hour and give a top five list of movies we can't believe we haven't fucking done on a horror movie podcast, and then the five that we did instead that we don't understand why we did those instead.
Why did we pick that? Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, stay tuned. Watch this space. But anyway, Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. Ugh, such a fun game. Even the little minor quibbles I have with it don't detract from it. I love it so much. Luke Mason, what are you cheering?
I haven't done this in a while, but I'm actually going to cheer a book I'm reading.
You read books?
Yeah, turns out.
Sorry.
I put the It in literate.
A spooky clown in the sewers.
Last Saturday, I went shopping for books because I had finished my previous one. And whenever that happens, I do a little jaunt down to a bookstore. Mm-hmm, and it's a book I'd seen a bunch of times. It's called The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. And I had read a book by her about a decade ago called The Secret History. And I remember really liking that book. And so I bought it. And I knew, I think it's published in 2015. And in 2019, they made a movie of it. So I know that there was a movie of it with Nicole Kidman is in it. And Ansel Elgort, however you say his last name. Elgort, yeah. The guy from Baby Driver plays the main character. And it's just, like, fucking awesome book.
Nice. It's fiction?
It's fiction. It's reality fiction, I guess. I guess that's just called literature.
It's really true.
Yeah.
It's really true fiction.
It's like highbrow, but the prose isn't difficult. You know, like smart. It's smart, but it's accessible and it's compelling. It's about the art world in New York, but it's also about like this kid being an orphan in really weird ways. Like both of his parents die at different times in horrible tragedies. And it's intense, but it's great. I'm just like plowing through. It's like an almost 800 page book, and I'm like 500 pages in, and it's so easy to read. I love it.
Nice, awesome, good cheer. What about you, Alex? What are you cheering?
Well, I will. I have not been reading. I put the irate in literature.
Nice.
Just thought about that one.
10 out of 10. Perfect joke.
Thank you. I guess I'm cheering the outdoors. Last Sunday, I went out to play some disc golf. Not good at it, but it was a ton of fun. Had lots of fun with it. And I think later today, I'm just going to go out, do some lawn games or something, and drink in the sun. So,
hell yeah.
That's my cheer.
That is awesome. All right, well, there's only one thing left to do then, and that's sort of wrap up the episode and say goodbye. I'll just say thank you, everyone, for listening, for sticking it out for 3 years, and we hope that whatever this turns into after the break, you come along for the ride. I'm excited to see where it can go. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Alex and Luke, for making the show. It's been so fun. Thank you. I'll say thank you to Kelly and Amy for putting up with me and how I'm always editing. Thank you to everyone who listened and who supported us on the Patreon. Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, thank you.
That's
Billy.
It for me. Yeah,
thanks, Billy.
Thanks for inviting me.
Editing all our shit and taking out all my coughs and wheezes and
so twirls. Many
coughs editing
and wheezes.
All the times you have to go pee.
Yeah, it wasn't always pee either. So
well, listen, that free to use YouTube hold music, I've just been taking snippets farther and farther down the track, so it's really been getting a workout.
Thanks for all your effort.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for watching some truly, truly horrible movies with me. I'm sorry for putting it through with you.
I do think that is the biggest sacrifice I made for this podcast. Thank you for acknowledging that, Billy.
Yes, I appreciate it. You know, they can't all be winners, and in horror, it is a mixed bag, mostly with stuff you don't want. But Yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
I guess we'll say goodbye. Luke, say goodbye.
I am saying goodbye.
You are. Alex, say goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. And remember, folks, they were just movies, and there was nothing to fear.